Now, if you're like me, you may be wondering if peace, shalom, means more than just the cessation of hostilities between me and God, and that I have opportunity in Jesus to be healthy and whole and complete, then why don't I feel that way all the time? After all, the work of Jesus was 2,000 years ago. Why does this season that acknowledges the coming of Jesus not feel like a time of peace? The answer is challenging. But it seems to me that there's a difference between having peace and being at peace. You see, the gift of peace is offered to everyone through Jesus. Christ died once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, to bring you back to God, to let you stand before the Father with no barriers. When I engaged in a personal relationship with God through Jesus, I was given this gift. You were given this gift. Hostilities between me and God have ceased. In Isaiah 54, God says to the nation of Israel, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." You see, this isn't just a gift that is given and one that can be reclaimed or taken up and put back in a box. This gift of peace is a covenant relationship, sealed in the blood of Jesus that we have just remembered. Based on this promise and my understanding that God is as good as he says he is, I am persuaded to believe that hostilities will never resume again. At the same time, peace is, like any gift, needs to be cared for, treasured, looked after well, put into use. Or what good is it? Earlier, I mentioned that peace is more than the absence of conflict, but the presence of wholeness and harmony. We've already partaken of the Lord's Supper together as we considered, pondered, wholeness. What it means for our broken inner man, inner woman, to be put back together through the brokenness that Jesus voluntarily took on our behalf. Before we close, though, I want to take a moment to talk about harmony. Now, harmony, I kind of wish I could have Deanna or Jennifer or Leanne or pretty much anyone else who is musical come up and talk about harmony, but I'll do my best. Harmony, as I understand it, is the combination of different musical notes at the same time to produce a beautiful sound. Or if you're more of a textual person, you might say that it is the arrangement of parallel stories in such a way that they present a single narrative. Think the Gospels. Now, a current example of this is if you are on Instagram or YouTube or TikTok, is the Mika Challenge. And so I found a couple of humorous examples of what I mean when I talk about the difference between simply melody, just the song of my life, and stepping into, with God, this relationship of harmony. Harmony is just so much more rich than the melody all by itself. So have a listen and then we'll carry on.
I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be apple, I could be purple, I could be anything you like.
Brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be hurtful, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be hurtful, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet sky, I could be hurtful, I could be purple, I could be anything you like. I could be brown, I could be blue, I could be violet.
be hurtful, I can be purple, I can be anything you like. I can be brown, I can be blue, I can be violet sky.
So it's meant to be lighthearted. The lyrics, I think, are meaningless, really. But could you hear from the first line to the last, this layering that takes place, and how much more rich the last line through was than the first all alone? That's what the idea of harmony is about, this idea that rather than me just singing my song, I participate in the song of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and I join them in that same song. So I don't sing my own song and have the Father sing a different song, because that's not harmony. That's just noise. If I had a stereo here and I played two different songs at the same time at the same volume level, it would just annoy you to no end, wouldn't it? You'd say, pick one or the other. Of course, if you want a more elegant example, this is my plug for the CPO, take time out this afternoon and curl up on your couch and listen to at least a little bit of Handel's Messiah. Jennifer and I had our annual Handel's date last night. We date more than once a year, but this is our annual Handel's Messiah date. And all along, I found myself thinking that this is exactly what I was trying to express or wanted to express to you today as I talk about being in harmony with God. The giving up of my own song and singing together with all the saints, the song that the Father has written for his children. Let me try to put it another way for those of you who aren't singers or musicians. When my daughter, Rachel, was a little girl, we would dance together. Now, you're not Baptist, so I can tell the story without any recrimination, I'm sure. But we would dance together, sometimes at home, sometimes at weddings. And being a young pastor who stayed in this church for a number of years, there was a lot of weddings as all the kids in my youth group got together and got married. And Rachel and I would often dance at those weddings when she was a little girl. In time, Rachel was able to hear the music, sense the rhythm, and keep in step with her dad. I think we still have some pictures of me with this little girl dancing, swaying together. Trust me, nothing elaborate on my part, that's for sure. But until that time, until Rachel could hear the music and sense the rhythm and keep in step with me, well, she did what millions of little girls have done. In fact, you probably already know what I'm going to say. She stood on my feet. She's still itty-bitty, so probably wouldn't hurt even today, but she would stand on my toes, and I would put my hand on her back and hold her hand, and we would dance. Just gentle, slowly, simply, but we would dance. Just thinking about those moments so many years ago where my little girl would let me move her around the room and we would just have a moment of joy and fun together causes me to feel all the feels. How much more so does the Father yearn for us to not only return home, as we see in the prodigal father story, but then join him in the dance. This is what peace, harmony with God is like. So what can we do to experience peace? What are some of the takeaways that we can do, the homework, if you will, so that we might be able to experience wholeness and harmony with God and our neighbors this season and beyond? I don't think there's going to be anything here that surprises you. First, we need to continuously trust in God and his goodness. If we don't believe that God is trustworthy, if we don't believe that he's good, then his word is going to mean nothing to us, because why would we listen to the word of someone that is not trustworthy? In Isaiah 26, we read, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God makes salvation its walls and ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you." You've heard lots of examples through the years, I'm sure, as good, faithful Christians listening to many, many sermons. You've heard lots of illustrations and explanations on what trust is, what it looks like to exhibit trust. It means actually doing more than say, yeah, I trust you, Fred. It means getting in his Jeep when he's going to give you a ride. Say, I'm going to show that I can trust you're a good driver by actually doing something. And so we need to figure out what it looks like for us to exhibit and demonstrate trust in God's goodness. And this has a lot to do with the second thing I think we need to give ourselves to, and that's simply to pay attention. This is what the Lord says, Isaiah 48, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. I know sometimes that might sound like a teacher, that might sound like a lecture, that might sound like a professor, but think of it as Father, with you standing on his feet, directing you in which way to go. I want to teach you how to dance. If only you had paid attention to my commands, my direction, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. And just so there's no mistake, Psalm 119 tells us, perfect peace have they who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. So we pay attention to God through his word. Certainly we have to give consideration to the question of, do I trust him? And if I trust him, then I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to allow him to lead me and direct me. He's not going to put me in a bad spot. And this isn't just something that the Father does or has sent Jesus to do, but the Holy Spirit is involved as well. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, John 14, whom the Father has sent in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. This points again to that image of peace as a covenant relationship, not just something that is given and taken away. We feel peace and then we don't feel peace. That's a reality. But this is once again one of those moments where we need to lean into what is true and operate from that rather than operate from what we feel to be true. I operate from what I feel to be true far too often. But I need to be reoriented, brought back again to what is it that brings me peace? Of course, Paul, speaking on this subject again, writing to the church in Philippi, says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And this Advent season is intended to be a season of joy and rejoicing. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's no guarantee here that if I present my requests to God, that he's going to answer all my requests in the way that I want. That's not where the peace comes from. The peace comes from the process of me coming to my Father, my Abba, my Daddy, and saying, these are my troubles, these are my concerns, be with me in this, help me with this. And then if we are trusting him, as we already talked about, then there's an opportunity for peace even before the situation's changed. Psalm 22. There's a bit more homework for you. Read Psalm 22 today. It's the psalm that Jesus quoted as he stood on the cross. The beginning of the psalm speaks, my God, why have you forsaken me? And ends, the circumstances haven't changed, but even the psalmist in that moment crying out to God saying, I feel abandoned, Lord. I feel that you have left me, Lord. Pouring out his heart, nothing has changed. And yet, what does he say at the end of the psalm? This is the homework. I will praise you in the temple. I will praise you in front of my brothers and my sisters. Somehow peace comes even when the circumstances have not yet changed, when we trust, when we bring our burdens to the Lord. Now, I said that these suggestions probably won't surprise you. This one might. Eat the bread and drink the cup. Don't wait for the first Sunday of January to come back to the Lord's table. If you're gathering with a small group, or you're gathering through the holidays with family, Or you just simply want to do it around the dinner table some evening. Take time and come back and remind yourselves. Read the scriptures. Look at the passage we've talked about today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Come back to bread and cup. Some have said that this is perhaps the most Christian thing that we do, the most uniquely Christian thing that we do. You see, all kinds of religions have teachings. All kinds of religions sing. And most religions, they pray. Communion. This reminder of the condescension of God coming down, pouring out his blood so that we might be restored in relationship, to join him in the dance, to sing the song. It's unique. So gather with your family, gather with your small group, take time. This is not one thing that is meant to be done once a month and then left. Come to the table often. It is a table of mercy. And then when you've done that, be still and listen for the sweet melody of the Father's song that he wants you to sing. And finally, and I'll leave this with you, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Not as an event, but make it a way that you do life. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story. In fact, I've printed a bunch of them out. They're on the back Welcome Center if you want to take one home and do a little bit more reading. But Corrie Ten Boom, many of you will have heard this, tells the story of how in 1947 she returns to Germany to speak to Germans about the fact that forgiveness is possible. And while she's there, she meets a guard from Ravensbrück. Many of you have heard this story. And how after her speech, the guard came up to her, very clearly did not recognize her as one of the incarcerated, and said something to the effect of, "Fräulein, it is so wonderful that our sins can be forgiven and thrown into the depth of the sea." And he reaches his hand out. Whew. Ooh. What do you do in that moment? Well, Corrie Ten Boom, in her story, she's very candid. She didn't want to. She didn't want to extend forgiveness. She didn't want to provide peace for him. The last thing that she wanted. And yet, she got herself to the place where she was able to say, okay, I'm going to choose to do this thing. And so as she reached her hand out, she said, in the process of reaching out my hand, my soul was just flooded with the presence of God. And I cried out, I forgive you, I forgive you. Brother, I forgive you. Back in Isaiah 9, we read that of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Alita read those words for us. If the peace of Christ is to increase on the earth, it will be as we participate in the world with and through the Father, with and through the Son, with and through the Holy Spirit. You see, they from love came to us to forgive us, and in so doing, provided peace. I think of no greater way than to spread peace, as Corrie's story describes, in such a powerful way this season and beyond, than to not just live and revel in our forgiveness, but to offer it, to extend it. Some of you will know the story of Horatio Spafford. I'm going to close with this. He was a businessman in Chicago, and he sent his wife and three daughters to Europe by ship while he remained back in the States. His plan was to join them later, but en route, there was a terrible storm and a shipwreck during which all three daughters drowned. Mrs. Spafford made it to safety, and once she received Europe, she sent a telegram back saying, "All of our daughters have been lost, only I have been saved." Well, Horatio did what every husband would do. He got on the next vessel and headed across to be with his wife. As they came near the place where his daughters had drowned, the skipper of the ship pointed to the place that the other boat had gone down. And it was there on the deck of the ship that he wrote these words, and all of you have heard them. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. How could Mr. Spafford write such words? Because the peace of Christ had taken up residence within his life and stood firm like a sentinel despite the tempest that had taken his daughters and was now raging all around him. His life was not easy and peaceful. It was not breezy. It was not simple. It was hard and it was complicated. And I imagine he had all other kinds of emotions and feelings running through him. And yet, to be able to say, it is well with my soul. Now, it's sad that the rest of his story, another 10 years later in the death of another daughter, he struggled to be able to still say these words. But he offered them up in that moment as an expression of where he stood then. And I hope it's a place that we can stand now. You see, because Jesus did say to his disciples, as I inferred at the beginning of our message, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Bonavista, the work of Jesus has brought peace into the world. At the same time, it, like the kingdom of God, has not yet been fully realized. And while there will be trouble in this world, we have one who has overcome and wants not only us, but those around us to experience wholeness and harmony in the midst of the conflicts of life. So don't merely settle for seeking the absence of conflict. We all want that. Undertake the practices that will allow you to hear the sound, to sing the song, and to dance the dance that your Father invites you to. In other words, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek his melody, participate in that, and all of these things, even the absence of conflict, will be granted to us in time as well. Let's pray. As Ephesians does say, Lord, you are our peace, who have broken down every wall. You've broken down the wall between us and between you. You've broken down the wall between us and our neighbor. Help us to know the truth of that this day. Help us to not just lean into harmony with you, but as we lean into harmony with you, allow ourselves to be able to join in the song that your church is singing. And may we sing well, Father, for the world is listening. And may they be drawn as well towards the song that you want them to sing, the dance that you'd like them to dance. May they hear the sound. And may they know you to be good. We thank you for making us whole through Jesus' brokenness. We thank you for bringing us harmony that we could not provide for ourselves. We're humbled and we're grateful. And this is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.